Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Rolling Stones top blank band for you, Steinman.
25.
That's it?
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan.
Why?
Overhyped.
Penguins insider from The Athletic, Rob Rossi, is our guest. Rob, you want to rebut that?
Well, I mean, it's unfortunate you have such ignorance when it comes to music leading into me. But no, I would definitely not say the band that invented modern rock and roll and touring and is the only original rock and roll band from England that actually played music as it was intended to be played, as opposed to trying to be a bunch of pretty boy band buffoons with a weird spelling on a bug's name. But no, I wouldn't agree with that.
Rob Rossi's first Rolling Stones concert. Tell me about it.
I was at, let's see, I've seen them, what, 12 times. First one was in Philly at the Old Vet. I sat in the mayor's box. I went up with my aunt and uncle and a friend from high school.
The mayor, like, is in the mayor of Philadelphia?
Yes.
Congratulations on all your successes.
Yeah, I only roll high. I remember the Steelers were playing a Sunday night game that night, and they were playing, I want to say, the Indianapolis Colts with Jim Harbaugh as quarterback still.
Mm-hmm.
And some people that we knew were watching the game. And I got so incensed that people would choose to watch a Sunday night football game over the greatest rock and roll band in the world that I successfully lobbied to have the television turned off.
Rob, do you have a big title when it comes to the Pro Hockey Writers Association? Are you important with them?
I'm the longest serving executive of the current group. I have been the Eastern Conference rep, which means I oversee all the chapter chairs for the Eastern Conference teams for 8 seasons now.
Nice.
And I'm also the chapter chair in Pittsburgh for the most part for the last 17 years. There was a couple seasons there, I think, when I handed it off to Jason Mackey when he covered the Penguins for a stint, and then when I handed it off to Josh Yoey. But that part doesn't seem to be a job I can get rid of too successfully.
No, that's because you're a big deal. Going back to one of your original points in this conversation.
Yeah.
So right. What happens to the guy who asks McKinnon and he puts an F-bomb in the question by on purpose last night? What are the repercussions for that, Rob? Are you going to kick him out of the association now?
Well, I mean, I think there will
blatant
be a
F-bomb
about, I mean, it's not my decision whether to kick people out, but there's definitely going to be a discussion, I know that, about not only that particular reporter, but when these type of situations come up, and they're pretty rare, by the way, people have sworn, as you know, from being involved in post games, like sometimes you don't always come off in the most intelligent ways, but...
you never have that problem, but I get your drift, yeah.
I'm sure I've said some things I shouldn't have, but there seemed to be a real intent there.
Yep.
I haven't talked to Adrian, so I haven't talked to Adrian about it. So I don't want to speak.
That's the guy's
to him.
Name. Is that Adrian Dater? He's been in Colorado for a long time. He's a
yes, he has. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, but I just think that when you there's a right way and a wrong way to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always about professionalism. That doesn't mean there's a right and a wrong question to ask. Now, I go back to something, honestly, Andrew. I remember you asked a really difficult question to Dan Bylsma, I think after his extension here in Pittsburgh. And I think you asked him why he felt he was the guy that deserved to be given another shot at Crosby and Malkin. And
yep.
I know it was a question he didn't like, but he couldn't. That you asked it in a professional way, and you asked it in a way that if you remove, not you, but if anybody removes sort of personal feelings in terms of not viewing it as like a personal attack, but just as a member of the media asking a question with the idea of giving a subject a chance to answer it. I use that example a lot when I talk to young reporters that's a hard question that was asked the right way.
Thank you.
That question the other night, that question last night, I don't even know what the question was.
It wasn't. It was a rambling statement or opinion.
Right.
And McKinnon was just so thrown off by it, and I can't blame him.
I can't either. I tend to err on the side of, you know, my brothers and sisters in the PHWA. And again, it would have to be a discussion we would have, but I'm sure it's going to lead to a discussion, especially not that I expect it in hockey, but that is really one of those ones where I wonder if it would have been asked that way if there hadn't been Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that you ask that question that way if you're in an environment when you're surrounded by people, colleagues, and you're facing a player at his dressing room or even in a press conference setting. I think that probably wouldn't have been asked that way. But, it wasn't a good look.
Rob Rossi, Penguins insider over at The Athletic, and a huge deal within really all around. I can't limit it to any thing.
I'm a golden god.
Yeah, so you got the Penguins expansion list? Is that what you had in?
No, I don't have the exact list. I have an idea of where I think they might go on some things.
Mm-hmm.
The story I wrote today was sort of a mix of, and I think I put in there like, you know, I've told you this. It's been tough because I haven't really been able to develop too much of a relationship with Ron Hextall yet because we haven't been around each other a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But from making calls and from talking very briefly with him, this is sort of the sense I get that might be options.
Big bullet points of it? The list that you put out there that was a well-researched, well-sourced list. What were the big points of it?
Well, I mean, I'll say this. You know, I think people were probably surprised that the defenseman that I had protected, but
who were?
Chris Letang has a clause that would prevent him from being on the list because he wouldn't waive to go to
Seattle
to be exposed in the draft. And Brian Dumoulin, which is an obvious bet, but you know the other defenseman I had them protecting was Mark Friedman, and you know the reason I did that is when you talk to people, you get a sense that Hextall really likes the player. He's a young player that was with him in the Philadelphia organization, and he likes what that player brings. They don't have to protect John Marino or Pierre Joseph because they're exempt. And then it's like, well, do you protect a player who's a better player, or do you protect a player that you might be willing to lose because the trade-off might be you would get the return of cap space.
So that's why you leave Matheson and Pettersson open.
Yeah, and that's honestly why I don't know that the Penguins are definitely going to expose Tristan Jarry, but the way when I talk to people, what I tried to convey in the article was this might be what they're thinking if they do. And the thinking being that if you're going to go out and get a veteran goalie to be part of the mix, that means Jarry really isn't your traditional number one, right? The way you view him. And if you don't view him as that, why would you be concerned about losing him in an expansion draft?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that you would be.
Right.
That doesn't mean that they won't bring Jari back or won't even protect him, depending on what they might feel their intel is on where Seattle is. But, I mean, when people look at these expansion drafts, I think fans generally look at who Seattle might take, whereas GMs tend to look at who I want to make sure they can't. And there's a different dichotomy there, and it sounds obvious, but there's a big gap between that.
So the questions we get, other than are they going to leave Jari open the most, Rob, are what happens with Tanev, Bluger, McCann, Jeff Carter, those four players in particular up front? Do you think all four of those guys can't get protected? So
no, I don't have Tanev being protected. And for the reason is, I think this probably has changed since the Malkin injury. I don't know if I talked to you guys since the news came down. I don't know. There just seems to be, for reasons I'm not aware of, mm-hmm. I've been pretty clear in what I've written.
Yep.
And the Penguins statement, I think, has been very clear. But I'm not sure it's connecting with people that Evgeny Malkin is not going to be ready for the start of the season. And the Penguins don't know when he's going to be ready to play. And the intelligence I have based off the surgery is that it's the damage is severe enough to make it likely that we're not going to see Malkin for a good bit of time. And because of that, you have to look at what your options are to replace what you would lose with not having Evgeny Malkin in the lineup. And mm-hmm. for those reasons, I think you have to be willing to maybe lose a Brandon Tanev to protect what you know you can bring back, not only at the center position with Carter being able to play that position and also Bluger, but you also have in McCann a guy yep. who can play center. And Carter and McCann, I think you have the guys that are going to make up your second line mm-hmm. with Malkin out. And in McCann's case, it's pretty clear they're going to use him on the power play if Malkin's not playing. And with regards to Bluger, I mean, maybe a role-playing sort of defensive-minded, penalty-killing, face-off guy who doesn't make a lot of money isn't the guy you think of protecting. But when you have a situation where your center depth is going to be hurt significantly because of one injury situation, the sense I get is that, you know, they're starting to think more along the lines of protect for that position and what the absence of Malkin will mean. And that means somebody is going to be left off that protection list. And as Ron Hextall did say last week, and I give him good credit for, you know, he's taking the approach of I'd rather lose a good player than give up assets to try to keep a guy. And I think that's the best way to go.
Do you think in that situation Seattle would take Tanev?
I don't know. I don't have a good feel for where Seattle is. I do think maybe. I think a guy like Jason Zucker is a guy Seattle might really be interested in. You're talking about a guy who hasn't traditionally needed, you know, name centers to be a productive player. He likes to have the puck. He's an exciting player. He's mm-hmm. a player that can give you sort of two-way play, but also offense. But more importantly, I think when you're Seattle, you're looking at guys that can they fill other roles in your organization. And if you're looking for a potential captain or a leader, mm-hmm. I think Zucker really fits that mold. But
so if you had to bet right now, I know you hate betting, but if you did, is that the guy that you would anticipate the Penguins lose in the expansion draft is Zucker?
Yes, I would anticipate he's the likeliest that they would lose, but I also leave open that you know, maybe depending on what Seattle gets from other teams, maybe it is a Tanev. I think Tanev's contract is still going to be tough for a lot of teams to want to pay for a guy that's a fourth-line guy.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure an analytics-driven team quite like the Kraken will be is going to look at Tanev as a real good use of that type of money.
When Penguins revisionist historians say, you know, I told you so, they should have kept Fleury over Murray, How feasible?
I said it at the time.
Well, how feasible was that? So your idea when you said that was, what were the Penguins going to do? Just let Vegas take Murray in the expansion draft and be done with it?
Yeah, my argument at the time was this. The Penguins were talking about being in win-now mode.
Right.
I thought because of where they were against the cap and because of the likelihood that they were going to have to eventually lose some players and probably take a bit of a step back in terms of the way they could possess the puck at quite the dominant level that they had those 2 years, and therefore maybe rely more on a goaltender. Because of that and because of Murray's inability to stay healthy, I favored keeping Fleury because I thought he gave them a better chance to win in the first couple of years after. That doesn't mean I didn't think they could win with Murray. I just felt that was the better play for them. Now, every GM would have kept Murray because he was younger and cheaper. And so I don't think you can fault Jim Rutherford for that. If you want to have a fault, put himself in a position where he had to give up a second, you know, he had to throw in a second round pick to get Vegas to take what's become the best player in the history of their franchise.
Yep.
But
well, it's defined two teams since, really, is what it's come down to. It's made Vegas a great team in a Final Four team 3 out of 4 years, just about. I know the Leonard thing last year was a one-off. And the Penguins have won one playoff series since, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I threw the numbers out there on Twitter last night or this morning or whatever, Andrew. And since the Penguins went away from Marc-Andre Fleury in the Eastern Conference Final, they've won 16 Stanley Cup playoff games. Marc-Andre Fleury's won 26.
Wow. But now, what would you have done with Murray, though? I get the logic for why you say Fleury over Murray, but then what happens to Murray? He goes to Vegas in the expansion draft?
Yeah, I think I think that's or I think you – I mean, I think you also could have worked out a situation where maybe you trade Matt Murray to Vegas and in order to get them to take a player that you want them to take. Instead, the Penguins gave up a player and gave up an asset to give up that player. Now, Vegas fleeced everybody. And to be perfectly honest, the decision to move on from Fleury was reached by Fleury and the Penguins well before the expansion draft of that year.
Yep.
But
around the trade deadline, right?
They couldn't have changed their mind. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it was a big risk by Mark at the time. He didn't know Vegas was going to turn into what it turned into.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not saying that I was right when I said that. I'm just saying I'm not one of these people that look back now and say, oh, they should have done that. Like, I thought that at the time. I made the argument at the time. At the time, most people thought I was being ridiculous. And I can see where they were coming from, given that Murray had been in the net for consecutive Stanley Cup wins. But one of the things, Andrew, that really confounded me about sort of the post-Cup runs with Jim Rutherford was this. He talked an awful lot about win now, but a lot of the things he did didn't seem to speak to that.
Yeah.
Picking the goalie that's younger, that has never been a number one in terms of really doing that in a season and the playoffs. Signing guys like Pettersson and Marino to deals that will be better on the back end than up front. Those don't speak to win now. Those speak to trying to do it both ways. And I think those are probably, maybe not the Fleury deal, but some of those other things, some of those signings are probably things that frustrated management or ownership more than anything because they weren't consistent with win now.
Italy is playing a important soccer game right now, so I'll let you go.
Azzurri, we have a chance, but so does everybody else in this Euro. So as long as France doesn't win, it'll be good.
Bye, Rob.
See ya.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.